thank you for tuning in to the radio ministry of Clearview Church. At Clearview, our focus is making Christ visible and providing an atmosphere of worship and community. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for this week's message by Pastor Abadan Shah.
As many of you know, Nicole and I and the kids were in India for the past couple of weeks visiting my parents. And some of you may remember that last November, which was 2016, that I received that phone call from my sister that my dad had fallen and he had broken his ankle. Now, the injury was bad, but because of some other complications in how they try to help him, it just made things from bad to worse. It did not have to be that bad, but shuttling him from this doctor and that hospital, it became a big mess. And we were really hoping to go visit him then, visit the family then, my mom and my dad. But you can only imagine, you are trying to just stay afloat. You're trying to find the best treatment. You're trying to figure out what's happening, and six people move into your house. That now you're also responsible for food and beds and all these things. And we felt like this would be more of a burden than of help. So we did not go then. We went now. It was a wonderful trip. If you've seen it on Facebook and all those other social media, you saw how much fun the kids had. It was a great time for them to actually bond with my family, with my mom and dad. It was a time of blessing. And my dad, as you saw him in the church, he saw me preach next to him. It was very humbling to be able to stand next to somebody who is a theologian, who was a president of a Bible college, who was a trustee over a seminary, standing next to you and you're preaching, and he is translating for you. He used to translate for the Billy Graham Association back in the day. And to have someone like that, it was intimidating to say the least. And I was blessed. But after the service and during the time there, in fact, many times my dad said to me, "It's a miracle. It's a miracle that I'm still standing today." He said it repeatedly that God has been more than faithful to him. He also said repeatedly that God has more than kept his promises, that his word doesn't fail. And that really stuck to me when I heard him say that. So when he asked me to preach, I preached on that passage, God's unfailing word. And that's the same message I want to preach to you this morning with some new illustrations and things like that, but it's basically the same message. And what I want you to understand is that what I'm about to preach to you, I preached in India. You've seen it. The message doesn't change because human beings don't change. Because our problem is the same problem. It's the sin problem. And the solution is the same solution, which is the one solution. Jesus Christ is the way, is the truth, is the life. There is no other way to God but through Christ. And so this morning, I want to preach the same message to you. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 23. Having been born again, everyone is born once, you have to be born again. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers away, and its flower also falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. I want to ask you some questions to prepare you, to prepare your mind and your heart to receive the truth. This is not just about, oh, I went to church, or I heard the gospel, or I heard the message. There has to be a response. So the reason I ask questions is to get you ready to respond to what is coming. And the question I have this morning to all of us, including myself, is this: what are you basing your life on? Does it come from your experience? Does it come from your emotions? How you feel is how you act? Does it come from human wisdom? Things you've heard people say, books you have read, people you admire in your life, family and friends and leaders and heroes? Or does it come from the Word of God? It's very important, because if you're trusting your life on anything other than this book, you will doubt and you will drift, you will flounder and you will fail, you will struggle and you will stagger. If you build your life on this book, this will never ever fail you. You can base your life on it. You can base your marriage on it. You can base how you raise your children on this book. And at times they will go through ups and downs, but in the end they will win. You base your life on anything other than this book, it will fail. It's a matter of time. And the second question, which is more important than the first, is, are you saved? You said, oh yeah, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. Which gospel did you believe in to get saved? If the gospel that you believed in came from anything other than this book, it's a false gospel. The gospel has to be based on the Word of God, and the gospel is this: Jesus died for me to save me. And it's only in trusting in Him that I can be saved. Unless that has happened, you're lost. Church membership, baptism, anything else doesn't really matter. I'm a good person. I help people. Oh, this Christmas, I'm going to give to this organization and that nonprofit. It doesn't mean a thing. That will not get you to God. The passage we just read comes from the first letter of Peter. Now, Peter wrote two letters that we have in the Scripture. He wrote this letter to the various churches of Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey. The reason Peter wrote this letter is because these Christians in these churches were going through some very difficult times. Say, how do you know that? All you have to do is read 1 Peter and it will tell you what was happening in their lives. If you read between the lines, it tells you what they were going through. The churches were being grieved by various trials. They were made sorrowful. They were being grieved by various struggles. They were also getting ready to go through more fiery trials. It's not enough to say, man, you've been going through some struggles. It was also, more is coming your way. They were suffering, as Peter says, for righteousness' sake. It's one thing to struggle if because you're making foolish decisions. It's one thing to struggle and suffer because, you are stubborn. They were suffering because they were doing what was right. Has it ever happened to you? You did what was right and you suffered? Peter was writing to tell them, don't give up. This is simply a test of the genuineness of their faith. It is very hard when you're going through a tough time physically, health problems, relationship problems, friends and families don't act right, financial problems, spiritual problems. It is very hard in those moments to say, this is a test. God is simply testing me. God is simply bringing to the surface the ugliness in my life and removing those things to make me pure and holy unto God. Peter wrote this letter to tell them, don't lose hope. This is simply a test. He also told them to rejoice because they were sharing in the sufferings of Christ. You got problems in your life? You have health problems? You have relationship problems? You have financial problems? Are you going through spiritual struggles? Are you going through depression? There are people who come talk to me. They say, you know, I've been going through depression. What have I done wrong? And I tell them, nothing. This is part of life. You're struggling. God's going to use this to teach you more about walking with Christ. You are suffering with Christ. And Peter even told them to cast all their cares upon God because He cared for them. This morning, some of you are going through those difficult times. God's word to you is again the same. Don't get discouraged. He is still with you. Amen? He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. His record is still the same. Perfect. You may not understand why things happen, but you never have to wonder where God is. He is with you. And He is working, as Romans says, all things together for good, even your mistakes. Isn't that amazing? In this letter, Peter has so much to say about obedience during suffering. He has much to say about prayer during suffering. In fact, I encourage you, if you're going through some tough times right now, go home and read 1 Peter. But something else Peter tells them, he tells them not to lose their love during suffering. You know, one of the first things to go out the window when you go through a tough time is love. You don't want to love anybody. What you want to say is, please love me. Please love me. Please be kind to me. Please be gentle with me. We don't want to love anybody in this time. Peter tells them, you got to love, especially during suffering. And to make that point clear, he tells them, don't forget that the reason you can love is because all of us are based upon the Word of God. Now, I know it's a very deep concept, and I don't have time to really go in depth, but what I want to focus on this morning is the importance of the Word of God during suffering. It helps you love. It helps you base your life on the truth. It helps you to trust God's promises. So listen again to verse 23. Peter says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. Everyone is born once. You have to be born again. Not of corruptible seed, something that will fall apart, but the incorruptible seed. But listen to something else. Through the Word of God. What is the incorruptible seed? It is the Word of God. You know, to be born in this world, you need two parents. One is a father, another is a mother. So also, if you want to be born again, you need two parents. The first is the Spirit of God. John chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Jesus told Nicodemus, you have to be born of the Spirit. What is the second parent? The Word of God. You need both to be born again. What does it mean that you are born again through the Word of God? It means that God's Word saves us. Now, I know that sounds strange, doesn't it? Because we say, Jesus saves us. We say, God saves us. How can the Word of God save us? Now, it may sound strange to us, but it was not strange to the early Christians. In fact, I want you to hear these three references. The first one is James chapter 1, verse 18. Of His own will, He brought us forth by the Word of truth. How are you saved? By the Word of truth. Paul says the same thing in Ephesians 5:26, that Christ will sanctify and cleanse His church with the washing of water by the Word. Both James and Paul agree that to be born again, you need the Word of God. And by the way, Jesus said the same thing in John 15:3 to His disciples. He said, you're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. The question is, how does the word save us? I can look at the creation and know that there is God. Do you believe that? You know, when people claim that they are an atheist or they don't believe in God, look at some of the most ancient cultures, they all believe in God. They've all been through this cycle of atheism and then back to believing. They believe that something made us. The Bible doesn't waste time on an atheist. It only gives one half of one verse. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I can look at the creation and know that there is a God. I can look at the heavens and the deep oceans and know that God is powerful. I can look at a newborn baby and know that God is so infinitely wise. How could He create this little child with a mind, with a heart, with a pulse, with all the features, and they look like their parents? How in the world can God do this? He is infinitely wise. I can look at the beautiful sunset and know that God loves beauty. There are so many things that the creation tells us. I can look at human beings and know that God is creative. But there's something that the world cannot tell me, is that God is holy, I am sinful, and I need a Savior. Jesus Christ is that Savior. Where do I find that information? I find it in this book. You will not find it anywhere else. You can walk out and you can enjoy the creation, but it will not tell you that you are sinful. God is extremely holy. The only way you can get to God is through Jesus Christ, and He died to pay the price for your sins. Trust in Him and be saved. Do you believe in that gospel? You say, what is that gospel? Let me give you three references. It's on the screen, but I want you to follow it very carefully. The first one is Acts chapter 16, verse 31. What does it say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. The creation can't tell me that. Human beings can't tell me that. But the Bible tells me if I want to be saved, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You and your whole family can be saved. Something else, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. How to be saved? If you confess with your mouth, means it's not enough to say, oh, my faith, that's my own personal faith. I don't like to wear my faith on my sleeve. It's just my personal thing. No, to be saved, you have to confess with your mouth. Means people around you know that you have made a decision. There is no private, secretive Christianity. Even in places where Christians are persecuted, other Christians know that you are a Christian. You have to confess with your mouth what? The Lord Jesus, that you believe that He is God's Son who gave His life on the cross for you. But something else has to happen, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. It's not enough to say, I confess. You have to actually believe. Now, folks, if you don't do those two things, you're still lost. You say, well, I feel like a Christian. I've been going to church all my life. Man, I have a membership way that I was baptized. You can do all those things, but your gospel is not coming from this book. This is the gospel of this book. Here's another reference. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. What does that mean, grace? Grace means this. You cannot earn your own salvation. Grace means it is unmerited favor, something you don't deserve, but God gives it to you. So if your salvation is by works, it's not a gospel salvation. This is the gospel. For by grace you have been saved through faith. All you can do is say, I trust Jesus as my Savior. I believe He died for my sins on the cross, and He rose again, and He is my Savior. He has forgiven me of my sins. I'm trusting in Him for eternal life. The question this morning is, have you received this gospel as given in the Word of God? This gospel as given in the Word of God. But something else Peter tells them. Listen again to verse 23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God. But now he describes that Word of God. He says, which lives and abides forever. This gospel which comes through the Word of God is that Word of God which never fails. Everything in life will fail. Health will fail. People will fail. Technology will fail. Everything in life will fail. Governments will fail. But one thing we can be sure of, God's word never fails. When God saves you by this gospel, He saves you forever. It will not fall apart. Now what Peter does here is he actually quotes Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 was God's word to the people who were in Babylon, His people who were in exile. God gave them this word. He gave them this word to tell them that even though they were in exile, many of y'all this morning are in exile. You say, exile, what do you mean? I'm still here. You're struggling. You're struggling physically. You're struggling mentally. You're struggling relationally, emotionally, spiritually. You're going through some tough time. God's word to you is this. Listen to verse 24. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. All human beings are like grass that will wither away. And then among this big, vast field of human beings that look like grass, there are some that will rise to the surface as flowers. The successful people, the rich and the famous. Listen to what God said to His people in the same word to us. The grass withers, means every human being will one day wither away. And its flower falls away. But something else, listen to verse 25. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow." I'm preaching to you this morning, and these are my points, but guess what? The Holy Spirit is doing a way more than what I have written here. He is using the Word of God to do that. He pierces between joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You can fool me, you can fool your spouse, you can fool your friend, you can fool your parents, your children, but the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, will discern the thoughts and intents of your heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Let me say this very quickly. The gospel comes from this book. It is the true gospel. Number two, if you place your faith in that gospel, then you're saved. This gospel. Number three, this is the book that will never fail. You say, what does that mean? It means this. What God has promised in this book, it will happen. Let me give you some of those promises. I don't have time to list all of them. We would be here for weeks. But to give you just a few. Psalm 50 verse 15. God promised, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you." How many of y'all would say that God has delivered you when you called upon Him? Here's another verse, Isaiah 40, verse 31. "Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength." Many of y'all have been in a place where you were so feeble, you felt like giving up, there was no hope, but you what? You put your hope in the Lord, and somehow strength came back in. Unfortunately, we give credit where credit is not due. We tell, oh, I have friends, or I'm a great doctor, and I am the way I am, man, I'm a survivor. No, it's the Lord who renewed your strength. Here's another one. I've quoted this before, Romans 8:28. "And we know that all things work together for good." All things means even your mistakes. Folks, I can't understand that, how God can use even my mess-ups and work all things together for good. Philippians 4:19, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Well, wait a minute. A lot of things I prayed for, God did not answer. They were your wants. As the famous theologian Garth Brooks once said, thank God for unanswered prayers. Amen? Thank God that He did not give me what I wanted, but He gave me what I needed. His promise doesn't fail. Folks, there are many things this man has asked God for, and I'm so glad He didn't give them to me. So glad those prayers didn't come to pass. Here's another promise. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. To me, this is a beautiful promise. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Some of you are carrying guilt and shame, but you have already confessed to God. God has forgiven you. It is the enemy who is convicting you now. As far as God is concerned, He is saying, you don't owe me a thing now. And then Jesus Himself promised, Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." The Bible that you hold in your hands from Genesis to Revelation is the Word of Jesus Christ. It will never fail. You can base your life on it. You can base your marriage on it. You can base your children on it. You can base this church upon the Word of God. It will never fail. If you are afraid about what's happening in the world, trust what this book has to say. If you're afraid of what people are telling you, trust what this book has to say. If people tell me, oh, the church is this and the church is that, we're living in a post-Christian world, I don't listen to them, because the Bible tells me the gates of hell will not prevail against this church. I trust this book. It not only saved me, but it gives me a foundation in the midst of any storm and trial. When I was spending time with my dad and interviewing him, we were filming him, we didn't go with that in mind. When I got there, God laid on my heart to film my father's testimony. So I asked him, I said, "Dad, do you care?" He had no clue what was happening. He's like, "Okay, whatever." And he shared again that night when he told his father that he was a Christian. Now, keep in mind, he came from a Muslim home. My dad grew up in a Muslim home, an educated Muslim home, a very successful Muslim home. The family tree goes way, way back. But the night when he told his father that he had become a Christian, Muslims are Muslims, he said, "I'll tell you what, I'll give you till tonight. If you still believe in this Jesus, leave. Because if I find you here tomorrow morning, it is because you don't believe in this Jesus stuff. But if I do find you here and you still believe, it will not be good." And that night, my dad, he went back to his room, and the way he described it, I never heard him say that, even though I've heard his testimony so many times. This was the first time I heard the way he put it. He said, the distance from his bed to the door was about 8 to 10 feet. It took him 2 hours to cross that distance. Because the question was, can I really trust God? Can I really trust this Jesus Christ? Because now I'm losing everything. I'm losing my family. I'm losing the stability. I'm losing wealth. I'm losing prosperity. I'm losing everything. Can I really trust this Jesus to take care of me? And a voice came to him, not audible, just in his heart. Do you trust me to take care of you in the life to come? Now ask yourself the same question. Do you trust God to take care of you in the life to come? Oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. I'm going to heaven. And the second question is, why can't you trust him in this life that you can actually see? He crossed the distance and he left that night, not knowing what was going to happen. But folks, come on, 50 years later, could he have ever imagined 50 years ago that his son would be standing in a church in Henderson, North Carolina, preaching the gospel to people? God's word never fails. This morning, as we go into our invitation, the first thing, the gospel that saves you has to come from the Word of God. And the Word of God is this: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. For by grace through faith you are saved. When you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you are saved. That better be the gospel. All this other stuff of trying to get to God is no different than those sadhus who are walking the streets of India. They're trying to get to God, and they can't. God has to come to you. Only Christianity has God coming to you. You say, well, I have a lot of questions. Folks, you can have all the questions in the world, but some point in time you have to place your faith and say, based on all that I know, this is the truth. I have questions too. Did you know that? And to be honest with you, my questions are way deeper. But based on all that I know this is the truth. Number two, if you have believed the gospel that's coming from the Word of God, are you walking in the Word of God? Are you trusting that Word of God? When God tells you to do this and don't do that, do you say, well, but, you know, I don't know about that. I have to think. But Daddy says this, or Mama says that. What I've always believed. Or do you say, God, it's your Word. I know that will not fail. His promises will never fail. You can trust him. And this morning, whatever you're facing, don't listen to those people. Don't listen to that diagnosis. Don't listen to anything that's coming at you. Listen to what the Word of God says. It'll bring peace in your life. It'll bring joy. It will renew your strength.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's message. God's Word is unchanging, and it never fails. It's only by placing our faith and our trust in Him that we can find hope for our future. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.